Hello, and welcome to the Cancer Survivor Show, brought to you by the Chemo Girls. Well, today you guys have just one chemo girl. It's me, Sharon. Sadly, Lucy's voice betrayed her today. So, we'll muddle through without her. Get well, Lucy. Today, we have a fantastic interview with Miss Monica Fawzy Bryant with Triage Cancer. This is just a fantastic organization. I can't wait for you guys to hear all about it. But first, I'll miss Bryant. She is a cancer rights attorney, a speaker and author. She's dedicated to improving access to and availability of quality information on cancer survivorship issues. Miss Bryant is the chief operating officer for Triage Cancer, which is a nonprofit organization that provides education and resources on the entire continuum of cancer survivorship issues. Throughout her career, Ms. Bryant has provided numerous educational seminars, written articles, and blogs. She's also appeared on television and radio shows discussing healthcare-related legal issues. Additionally, Ms. Bryant is an adjunct law professor at John Marshall School of Law in Chicago, where she teaches a class on cancer rights. Now, all of that just impressed me absolutely to no end, as well as seeing the beautiful picture that she submitted. But what I found interesting about her was learning that she's an animal lover like I am. She has two dogs. One is Paisley and the other is Penny. And very interesting, she is trying to convince her husband to let her get a goat. She's a sports fan and she loves all things UCLA, but especially football and basketball. And the most interesting thing about her that I learned was she's taken over 50 flights in 2013. Now, we're in November of 2013, so she has been a very, very busy woman. Hello, Miss Monica, and thank you so much for being on the show. Welcome.
Thank you. I'm so delighted to be here.
I loved your little interesting facts. You have been super, super busy.
I have to say it's been a busy year. I have definitely spent my fair share of time in airports, but it's all been for good reasons.
Yeah, yeah, what you're doing is really amazing, and I'm delighted that our listeners are going to get to hear more about what you guys do and what you offer. But before we go into what Triage Cancer is, can you tell me how cancer touched your life and led you into the direction of having a mission to advocate for cancer patients?
Absolutely. I mean, I think, unfortunately, like most individuals, cancer has definitely touched me in the form of friends and family who have had to deal with this awful, awful disease. And also, interestingly enough, cancer sort of always been around in my life. Both of my parents are oncology healthcare professionals, and they did some early research into psychosocial care and dealing with stress and how that affects somebody's outcome and quality of life. So from a very early age, I was always sort of around the quote-unquote cancer world.
Right.
And then personally, I've always felt very strongly about the idea that people in this country need to be engaged in issues and become advocates for important issues. And so all of that sort of tied together in a nice, neat package in terms of becoming an advocate for individuals coping with cancer.
Well, we're so glad that you have decided on this path, both you and your sister, from what I understand.
And so
we'll just jump in with both feet, and I would love for you to tell us, what is Triage Cancer's mission?
Sure. Well, you mentioned it a little bit in my bio, but basically Triage Cancer is a national nonprofit organization that provides education and resources on the entire continuum of cancer survivorship issues. And we try to provide that information to survivors, caregivers, healthcare professionals, because we know that cancer doesn't just touch the person that's been diagnosed. It's it really does affect the entire community. And we sort of provide this education resources in a couple of different ways. So primarily, we host a speakers bureau of all types of experts on various survivorship issues.
Right.
So the idea was that if someone's putting on an educational event and is thinking, wow, I'd really like to have a speaker on fertility, that they don't then have to try to figure out who would be the best person to do that, but they could rather contact us and we could connect them with someone who's not only an expert, but a great speaker.
That's a fantastic resource. It really is. So I'm sure that you guys get a lot of requests then all over the country.
We do, thankfully, which means that that translates into the idea that quality education and information is getting out there.
Right. That's great. Well, where did the name Triage Cancer come from?
So when someone is dealing with a cancer diagnosis, and I'm sure you're intimately aware of this.
Yes, I am.
There's so many different, and there's so many different things that need to be dealt with. So decisions that have to be made, information that's need to compile, and oftentimes trying to juggle all of that can be incredibly overwhelming, especially when also being faced with the fact that you've been diagnosed with cancer. So our goal is to provide access to quality information about all types of issues, some medical, some non-medical. And then we feel like once somebody is armed with that information, they can better decide what needs to be handled first and what can maybe be dealt with later, which is the very definition of triaging.
Right, right. That makes a lot of sense. So what are some of the topics that your speakers can cover?
Well, we're so fortunate to have speakers from all walks of life, both professionals like doctors and social workers, and then survivors. And people can take a look at our speakers' bios on our website. But really, we have people that can speak to all types of issues. So nutrition, stress management, physical rehabilitation. And then Joanne and I talk about employment, health insurance, sort of the more practical legal issues that come up.
Right. So how many speakers would you say that you guys offer?
Well, I think at the moment, and I should have this number on the top of my head, but of course I don't, I would say we're probably in the 30-ish range.
Wow.
But that number's always expanding, which is a great thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's fantastic. And you really are hearing from all over the states, are you?
Absolutely. I mean, we are getting requests literally across the country, and we have plans even next year to expand that further. Our goal is to eventually hit all 50 states.
Do you serve Georgia?
Yes, absolutely. And we actually just had a speaker return from an inaugural event in Guam.
Wow.
So that was really exciting for us.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, do you provide direct services to patients as well?
So this is where it gets a little bit tricky, and we don't provide direct services to patients. Really, we just don't. That's not really our mission, and we don't quite have that capacity, because our goal is to really steer people towards the most appropriate resources. So that could be financial, practical, legal. So what we suggest to folks is the first place to start is sort of our resource page on our website, which is just triagecancer.org. And also to that vein, if other people have resources that aren't listed that they think might be beneficial, we're always happy to hear about them as well. And people can shoot those over in an email.
Okay, that's great. What kind of services do you provide?
So as I mentioned, we provide speakers on all types of different survivorship issues. And we provide those speaking environments both in person and online. So we think let's harness some of the technology that we have at our fingertips, because we can't be everywhere at once. And so we do a lot of online webinars or thankfully radio shows like this. But then we also, of course, do the in-person events. So the first thing is sort of we can connect people with speakers. But then also we've been hearing from smaller institutions that want to put on educational events but may not have the bandwidth to do that. So the great thing is they can connect with us, and we actually have the ability to come in and put on the events as well.
Right. That's great. So how can you be of assistance to healthcare professionals? I think that's an awesome thing that you are. I think that's fantastic. So tell me what you do there.
That's a great question, and I'm glad I got a chance to talk about it, because we really think that healthcare professionals are on the front lines. They're the ones that are getting the questions from their patients about, you know, the patient that comes in crying because their boss is being really hard on them, or they're trying to figure out how they're going to pay for their health insurance and their mortgage this next month. You know, so they're sort of the ones that are getting these questions. So we feel like if we can arm healthcare professionals with information and resources that they can then pass on to their patients, we're expanding the reach exponentially. And we're really sort of adding to the level of psychosocial care that these healthcare providers are able to give. So we do a lot of educating of healthcare professionals on these topics. We, of course, have the Speakers Bureau, but then we are proud that we're sort of working with one of our partners in the cancer community, Cancer and Careers, and we've created a full-day in-service event where we get into the really deep weeds of employment and health insurance and cancer, and we do interactive exercises, and it's their opportunity to ask questions. We've done about 7 of them so far all over the country, and we're hoping to expand that even further next year. So again, it's just, you know, it's we're trying to get sort of these issues in the minds of healthcare professionals and to arm them with quality information.
That's awesome. I tell you, I think that one area that's just so critical with professionals, they're on the front lines, and they become counselors to a large degree.
Yeah.
And the more that they can know about what happens with these patients when they leave the door and live their lives dealing with the treatment and the insurance and the cost and the relational issues, the better equipped they are to fully serve those patients. So, okay, well, the cancer community is very vast, and it's also kind of small all at the same time. So do you partner with other organizations?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we are in the fortunate position where no one else is really doing what we're doing. And because we don't focus on a particular type of cancer, we're in a great position to partner with anybody and everybody that's interested in partnering with us. And we think that that's collaboration is really the way that we are going to combat this illness and deal with it in a way that we're not just having people survive, but as your tagline indicates, having them thrive.
Uh-huh.
And really making sure that their quality of life is the best it can be.
Right.
So we are always interested in working with others. We have a bunch of partners listed on our website, and we're always trying to expand that as well.
That's great. We are all about not just surviving, but thriving. So let me ask you this. What advice do you have for the newly diagnosed, given your perspective as an advocate? Is there any one thing that you would say to the person who's walking into their cancer story?
You know, I think it's hard to say the one thing. But again, from my perspective, I think it's to stop and take a breath. Before you make any major decisions, try to compile the information first so that you can make the best decision for you. So for example, before you go into your workplace and tell your employer that you've been diagnosed, stop and think about if that's the best decision for you, because it might not be. It might be. It might absolutely be the right thing, but it's one of those things where once the cat's out of the bag, you can't take back. So I think it's really about, you know, it's such an overwhelming thing to hear those words, you have cancer. And
yes.
There's so much that you have to digest and so many decisions that have to be made. And so we really hope that, people just take a moment and triage and figure out what needs to really be decided now and what can perhaps be put off till later.
Right. That's great advice. And you provided us a lovely segue just a minute ago. I wanted to let everybody know that we've come to the portion of the show where we have our not just surviving but thriving tidbit of the day. If you're new to the show, what that means is what we're looking for is a moment in time where you put down sort of the business of life that seems to pull us through our days, look around you, and see what life has to offer, and choose to live in that moment. Choose to thrive right where you are, no matter what's going on. And so with that, I wanted to ask you, Miss Monica, do you have a not just surviving but thriving tidbit of the day for us?
So this was hard for me to think about because in our lives, I think it's so easy to get caught up in the hustle and the bustle and the to-do list and the phone that's ever dinging reminders.
Yes, ma'am.
And updates and
yes.
And you know, it's, and I think we're all guilty of it to a certain extent. But I was thinking about a couple of weeks ago, I was having one of those days where the computer wasn't working right and I couldn't get answers on something I needed from somebody and I was feeling particularly frustrated. You know, and one of my best friends is also my neighbor, and she has a one-year-old son who is just delightful. And I heard him outside playing, so I stopped what I was doing for a moment and went outside, and he comes running up to me and gives me one of his typical great big bear hugs.
Aww.
And it changed my entire day.
No, it does, you know, doesn't it?
Forgotten was the frustrations, and I sat and played with him in the yard for 15 minutes, and he giggled and laughed, and I think it just really reminded me that sometimes you just have to take that moment and realize it's not that bad.
Yeah.
It's not that bad.
And you want to know what I find amazing? It is amazing how often these tidbits come back to children.
Yeah.
And in my opinion, the reason for that is, you know, if you don't have children in your life, whether life has just worked out that way or you've opted out or whatever, you don't have to have your own kids. I think that though their love for life, their sense of wonderment and living in the moment is infectious, and their innocence sort of yields a whole different take on what's happening right now and what's available to us right now. And if you can spend a little bit of time with a child and just squash those to-dos for a minute, it will really enrich your life.
Absolutely, I agree.
So thank you so much for that tidbit. I want to let everybody know that we are also going to have an interview upcoming with Miss Monica on healthcare reform. So if you enjoyed this interview and that's a topic that interests you, stay tuned or scroll through the topics and see if it's already out. But I'm really interested in this topic, and I think really everybody else is too. So I think you're going to have them on pins and needles. Okay, well, I want to thank you to Miss Monica and to our listeners for a wonderfully informative interview. That's all for now, guys. We will be back with you soon, but remember, we're not just surviving, but we're thriving with you. Bye, everybody.